Here we go. All right. Welcome in another episode of the Patriots Podcast. I'm Sean. He's JJ.
Hello.
We are back to talk about minicamp, right? Let's just go over OTAs, absolutely. Strictly that, and nothing else.
Works for me.
I'm just playing. No, we just wanted to catch up on some of the newest happenings around the Patriot universe. Most notably, the ever-aging roster that we got going here in New England. There are 15 players on this roster over 30 years old. By a large margin, the oldest roster in the NFL. Yeah.
It's crazy.
I think Belichick's onto something. He's sneaky. And last time we talked, we went over about the tall receivers that he brings in, drafts N'Keal Harry, signs Demaryius Thomas, wants these big guys out there. And now it seems like the new thing is that they're going for these older veterans, whereas the whole NFL is focused on youth. And the rookie contracts, which is totally a thing. And it's not like the Patriots are going away from rookie contracts. They got plenty of rookies and young players. But it's that middle gap where Trey Flowers gets $90 million and CJ Mosley gets whatever the hell he got, $85 million. They're avoiding those contracts and they're getting the player afterwards. Case in point, one of our favorite Patriots coming back into the fold, Jamie Collins, gets traded away. After his rookie, at the very tail end of his rookie contract, signs a massive deal with the Browns, underperforms, comes back to New England for about a nickel.
Yeah, gets cut. We're paying him like $1 million.
Yeah, well, he's basically making the veteran minimum right now after he made $13 million for the Browns last year.
Which means he was getting offers from no one, which I don't understand why.
He was their third linebacker on
that. He still had pretty good. I mean, he was ranked bad, but he still had decent stats. He had a couple sacks, like three or four sacks, forced fumble. He might have had a passer defense to a couple passes defense. I mean, it's not like he's unusable.
He's a prime example of the guy that excels when put in the right spots, which Belichick has proven time and time again that he can find the right spots for certain players. There are certain players that he can't figure out for whatever reason. Akeem Hicks was a good player here, but he wasn't a dominant player for the Patriots.
He was becoming a dominant player.
He was.
We found that role for him. You can't. I wouldn't say that's the greatest example. Like a Chad Ochocinco.
Yeah, but he was on the tail end. There's some guys that come here and don't do well and find better spots elsewhere. Then none coming to mind immediately.
That dude, the white dude with all the tattoos last year,
Cassius Marsh.
Yeah, supposedly he went to maybe San Francisco, I think we dumped him to, and he's ended up doing well.
Good for him, yeah. But he flushed out of the system real quick here, and they couldn't figure it out with him. You know who's Jordan Matthews is a perfect example.
That's a good one.
Yeah, he came to New England, and just they didn't know where to put him. And then he goes back to Philadelphia, and he's a starter once again. And
you're like, yeah, he had a couple good games.
You're like, how'd that happen? It's a good example of people who fit in certain schemes, and Jamie Collins fits in Belichick's scheme, and he knows his strengths and weaknesses, and he's going to assess where he is now versus where he was as a 25-year-old freak. Now he's a 29-year-old, still kind of freak.
Yeah, the thing I'm most excited about Jamie's return to the game is middle linebacker blitzing up the middle.
Well, obviously, that was our favorite thing ever.
That was our favorite thing, and we lost that, really, with him. What's his name? Bentley kind of in the beginning of the year was like showed that he had capabilities of it. But now all of a sudden with Jamie Collins, I mean, you add such a small piece who you would think is insignificant. And all of a sudden our linebackers are kind of stacked.
Loaded
you know?
Right now. We got Hightower, Van Noy, Jamie Collins, Jawan Bentley, Landon Roberts. Stacked. Yeah.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty damn good. And then when you think they're not all just linebackers. Jamie Collins, Van Noy, and Dante Hightower are legit pass rushers also.
Yeah, exactly. Our defense, our defense is looking pretty damn legit.
It's beautiful. When they call this the second round of free agency after the compensatory pick calculation is done. I don't know when it was. It's like mid-March, something like that, mid-May. I mean, when you sign free agents, do they count against the compensatory cap formula? So we lost a ton of free agents, and Bill loves the compensatory picks, so he waits after that window, and then that's when you see the second flurry of additions, when Danny Shelton gets signed back, when Jamie Collins comes in. Ben Watson comes in, another yep. former Patriot. Great. I mean, he wasn't great with the Patriots, but I had a man crush on him, to be honest.
There you go.
And he's 38 years old, comes out of retirement to play for Bill one more time.
Yeah, he was always your boy. He just got popped for PEDs.
I know. It's so funny, too. Right away.
Right away, four games, gone. It's like, okay.
Yep.
So I wonder what he's got left in the tank.
He looked fine last year for the Saints. He really did.
But what if he was doing performance enhancers, Sean?
I know.
Now he's not.
Possible.
So we'll see what happens there. I'm excited about that. I'm more, we got a few other players that we'll go over on offense, but just the defense, when you look at our defense top to bottom right now, I'm just excited.
It's almost two units deep.
It almost did. Like Joe Juwan, the cornerback we got Johnson. In the second round. What was it? What would you say?
Joe Juwan Johnson.
Johnson. Like I saw him in an interview. He is going to be a player. And he, do you know, so I didn't know this, but they were asking him why he should be drafted. And basically he went over, he's like, I'm a high character guy, setting all the right answers. And then also said, my play versus play speaks for itself. In the SEC, I led the division in, it's like picks, passes defensed, like all the top categories. Like, I did not know any of that.
By the way, it's Joe Juwan Williams, my bad.
Williams, yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, I thought he was just going to say, I'm a 6'4" cornerback. Done.
No.
That would pretty much convince me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he seems like he's going to be a beast, and he could be our third or fourth cornerback. It's like, all right.
He would have to play very well to be our third or fourth cornerback.
That's true. That's the better part of it. We also re-signed Danny Shelton, which I know is not a lot, but just adds that extra body at D-tackle. He's not very good, but he's serviceable enough.
It's exactly the thing we were talking about last time.
That's all we need.
We need another defensive tackle. We need a space eater. He fits that mold perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like, look at this defense you got. We're worried about edge rushers after losing Trey Flowers and Adrian Claiborne leaving town. You got Dietrich Wise, Michael Bennett, John Simon's back, Derek Rivers, I don't know what he's going to be, Chase Winovich, don't know what he was going to be, but then we talk about those three linebackers who can all play on the edge.
Yeah, exactly.
You're like eight guys deep at the edge position. That's mm-hmm. it. And then you go into passing downs, you bring Adam Butler on the field, Lawrence Guy can stay out there, maybe he comes out, maybe Michael Bennett kicks inside, maybe
Probably.
Bring two of those linebackers in the A-gap like we talked about. You got so many moving parts that you can use, and we're not even talking about Juwan Bentley, who was a starter at the beginning of last year.
Exactly.
Brandon Roberts has been in the league for 3 years.
And he got better at this as the season went on as well.
Yeah, and what's crazy about that, that's not even the strength of the defense. It's a defensive backfield by far.
The secondary. It's just, we have so many bodies.
Stephon Gilmore is the best cornerback in the NFL right now. J.C. Jackson had the best opposing passer rating, or I guess the worst passer rating against him, which means he was playing the best. And so you got Gilmore, J.C. Jackson, Jonathan Jones is a player. Oh, by the way, Jason McCourty made the biggest play of the season last year.
Yep.
Duke Dawson, former second-round pick. Joe Juwan Williams, this year's second-round pick. Keon Crossan got plenty of time. That's seven cornerbacks. One of these guys isn't making the team.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's we find ourselves in this position every year. And I'm sure we have only Patriots fans listening to us, because non-Patriots fans would get so pissed off at us.
Why would you listen to this podcast is named the Patriots podcast.
I know, right? But like every year we come around a training camp and it's like, people are almost waiting for our guys to get cut to pick us up. It's always, the Jets or the Bills or someone in our division's always looking for guys, and it always happens. And then, some of our rivals, Denver or whatever. We always have several people that are being looked at in several positions that are being looked at for cuts. And this year, you look at it, we won the Super Bowl. We had a ton of free agents leaving. Everyone's going, what are they going to do? And we, coming into this year, at this point, are probably the most stacked I can remember us since in the last 3 or 4 years, where we've won two Super Bowls.
Yeah, maybe, yeah, like 3 years, I'm thinking. There was that one year where we were just like joking. It was the second year that Malcolm Butler and Logan Ryan were the starters at cornerback. This is 2016.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just like, this team can't get better. This team is just jacked. And we're not even talking about the safeties, too. The safeties of the veteran position. We got three players that are starting caliber players, Devin McCourty, Patrick Chung, Daron Harmon. They brought in, this is another one, they brought in Obi Melanfonwu, who was a former second-round pick. They signed him in the middle of the season last year with the Raiders. He's a 6'4" safety. There is something going on here. I'm serious. What
well, he's
is
looking
happening?
For that. He's looking for big guys and guys that can back them up.
Why is he continuing? We mentioned Joe Juwan, 6'4". Obi Melanfonwu, 6'4". J.C. Jackson, Keon Cross, and these are big cornerbacks. We've talked previously about the bigger receivers on offense.
Mm-hmm.
Why is this happening? I feel like if you
The only thing I can think is he's anticipating the run game to come back full force.
From everybody.
From everybody or like the teams that he's worried about.
I think that those players are meant to play press coverage.
They are. But the whole point of press coverage, guys, is they can also tackle.
Is he trying to do... See, this goes against all the buildup in the front seven. But is he trying to play more of a dime package where he's got bigger guys on the back end who can really play against the run?
Probably. I mean,
trying to go small, but
kind of been going that way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but then look at all the people that he brings in to play up front. They got so many guys. We just mentioned all those guys that are.
Well, that's what I mean. He's just got numbers everywhere. That's what I don't know. He's realized he's like, I can just put all the chess pieces exactly where I want, and it'll be fan fucking tastic.
Did you see the announcement that Belichick is going to be the de facto defensive coordinator this year?
Good.
Yeah. So he might even be calling the plays. I mean, who knows? He might call the plays.
I doubt he'll call the plays.
I doubt he'll call the plays also. But
I don't want him to call the plays. I like when he's in his element, just like taking a look what's going around. So, you know, talking to people he needs to, looking at the coach on the other sideline, just, you know, figuring things out like that.
Just Big Bill with his golf pencil. Walking
exactly.
Around, little post-it note. Yeah, but he is going to be the primary game planner defensively and might even be, yeah, he's going to be deciding which matchups, who's playing the most, who plays in what positions, I mean, in like what situations.
Yep.
And it's like Bill the GM is concocting the most versatile and deep, talented, just wide variety of players for his defense, for him to just play with every week.
Yeah. And we've got a bunch of these guys locked up for a little while still. Chung actually just got a restructure. He added a couple years to his deal, which I'm super surprised at.
Me too. That guy limps through practically every game you watch.
Like it's not even like that. I'm surprised we re-signed him. It's like the fact that he wants to keep playing after his contract's up.
He looks like he's broken, like at least four times a season.
Yeah. Now maybe that's just his reaction to pain, but it looks like he just plays through it.
He gets through it all the time. He was wearing a shoulder brace for a long time last year. Did he get knocked out of the Super Bowl? I think he did.
He did. He got knocked out of one of those. Yeah, the beginning of the season, he's just running in like a man on fire, trying to tackle people. And that takes a toll on you after like eight games.
God, love that dude.
It's like, all right. But yeah, I mean, there's just not a lot of holes on this team. I mean, the only things that could turn into issues, I mean, barring any horrible slate of injuries, obviously, would be offensively. The two obvious ones, receivers still. I mean, we've got numbers at receiver, but, you know, we just got to sign that guy Inman, who seems like he could be, I don't know, an interesting signing. N'Keal Harry's playing ball with Brady and, you know, is already doing and saying the right things, so we'll hope that turns into something good. Edelman, he just re-signed, got a nice little extension for himself.
Yeah, he did.
What was that? Two years, $9 million a year or something added on or something? Or $9 million bonus?
A lot of that was incentive. So it actually restructured the current deal he had. It was like a new 3-year contract instead of a 2-year extension where he got a big fat signing bonus.
Right.
And then he's got portions of his salary that are guaranteed going forward. And he's also got a ton of incentives.
Right.
He's got like $7 million in incentives that are a 90 catch season this year and 100 catches each of the next 2 years, including Pro Bowls. So it's like,
wow.
He's never made a Pro Bowl.
Yeah, he's betting on himself.
He's betting on himself in a big way. And 2 years after Brady's contract is done.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't see Bill bringing back Edelman without Brady. I feel like that doesn't make a lot of sense.
I mean, Edelman's a player.
I know. He's a badass player.
But I think they're going to bring Brady back for another year. Anyway.
Just extend him already. I don't like the uncertainty around it.
But any, yeah, I know it's tough. But so who he's throwing to now? You got Benjamin Watson, who is down for 4 weeks. Not a huge deal. The tight ends are Safarian Jenkins and Lacoste, who we have no idea what to expect from them. The other guys you have receiver, you got Demaryius Thomas, who we expect, you know, I don't know, he could do something, but how much, we don't know. You have Josh Gordon, who's a complete wild card. We don't know when he's coming back or if he's going to play. And then you have a couple other, you know, four or five guys that it's like, these could be, you know, huge. They could be okay, or they could be not that good.
Right. Like Dontrell Inman's a perfect example of somebody who could really develop or yep. couldn't. I mean, he comes out of the Colts system the same way Philip Dorsett did. And he got here and it's like, maybe. And then Philip Dorsett plays for a while and you're like, he's good okay. for one play every two games.
Right.
Something along those lines. And in a pinch, he can play half the snaps offensively. Maybe Inman has that type of ceiling. Maybe he's a different type of player. We've talked before. I really like Jacoby Myers, the undrafted rookie free agent out of NC State. Bigger guy, mm-hmm. decent athleticism, just a real player. You've talked about Ryan Davis, rookie free yep. agent out of Auburn, who's a little shifty. Braxton Berrios is still on the roster after being brought in last year, who's the Danny Amendola clone.
I don't think he's got it. I don't know yet. I don't think he's quick enough. I've seen him on the field. He looked like he was out of place. But, I mean, he was young, so who knows. They're keeping him around for a reason.
Yeah, so they're going for – it's a depth approach, and it's actually pretty similar to what we saw last year.
It is.
With the receiving crew, where we had Edelman coming off an injury, and Chris Hogan was the other dude who's basically played by Demaryius Thomas right now, is playing the Julian Edelman role.
Yep.
And then after that, it was like – Philip Dorsett, Jordan Matthews, a couple other dudes, and nobody really stuck out of that group.
That's the thing. So, and they had some bigger names, I'd say, last year that they were all injury related. This year, it's more just lesser known people that aren't necessarily injury guys. I see two sides of the coin. It's like, oh, they're taking the same approach. They didn't learn from their problem last year when they had to go get Josh Gordon. It's like, are you guys putting all this stock that, you know, Harry is going to be such an influential player? I mean, he has to be like a number two, a super solid number two, which is a lot of pressure to put on a rookie. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. That's a lot to ask.
And then Thomas has to be, you know, good, which is also, we don't know. I mean, he's coming off of a torn Achilles?
I think so. Yeah.
Which is, I mean, that's a terrible injury for anyone. So then you got this other smorgasbord of guys, which, yeah, so if all we need is one or two to hit, but it's like, will they do it? So that's one side of the coin. The other side of the coin, it's Bill Belichick. Are you going to bet against him twice?
Right.
I'm leaning towards more of that. Like, there's no way this dude brings in 15 receivers in 2 years and they all suck.
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean? And six of them sucked last year, so that means a couple of them have to hit this year.
I don't know. That's the thing, is a fair amount of these guys are retreads. They're free agents who have been in the league for a while. Mm-hmm. We know Bill doesn't have a great track record drafting receivers.
And I think he knows that.
Yeah. Oh, he absolutely knows that.
That's why he trades for him so much.
Exactly. And which is why when he can put on the film of Dontrell Inman playing against the Texans secondary, playing against the Jaguars secondary, and he can go, oh, this compares to how I would use him in my system. It's a lot easier than saying, oh, Ryan Davis played in the SEC against Jojuan Williams.
Right.
Let's see how that compares in the NFL. It's like, that's all projection.
Yeah, exactly.
But Jordan Matthews thing still sticks with me. As for tight ends, that's the biggest difference between last year and this year, is at the end of the day, last year, you could always be like, yeah, but we got a number one at tight end.
Yeah,
this year, you're like, exactly. I don't know.
We don't have
I'm about as high on Austin Seferian Jenkins as anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's a number one tight end, but he's not a blocker. I'll tell you that much.
No, he's not a blocker. He's a decent receiver. I mean, it's not even like he's great receiving. So you don't know. It's tough to see what he's going to be able to do. I mean, there's always the chance on one of these positions that one of the undrafted free agents Bill picked is one of those positions, because we know every year he finds one guy that's undrafted that ends up starting.
Jacoby Myers. That's my pick.
I hope so. If it's a receiver, that'd be great.
I'm real high on that kid.
Yeah, I mean, I personally think we are one position you know, one upgrade at either the tight end or the receiver position still to be considered like absolutely dominant in the league.
It could
right
totally happen.
And it could. There's plenty of time. They could do it through trade. Someone could get cut still. During cuts in free agency, or I'm sorry, during after training camp, you know, when the final cutdowns, I mean, you could find your guy there.
Yep.
There's plenty of time, so it's not much to worry about. But I think that's, you know, you look around the league, and it's not that impressive, and we're like that one player away. Like we're a Gronk at this stage in his career away.
Oh my God, there is no player like that.
Gronk at this stage in his career, there are.
No,
I mean not the same talent set, but like the same influence.
I don't know. I don't know. Yes. That's a lot to ask.
I'm not talking about a tight end. I'm talking playoffs.
Oh, okay. In terms of best available tight ends still on the market, there's Lance Kendricks, who's been receiving tight end for a long time. Jermaine Gresham.
I wouldn't mind taking a flyer on him.
Jermaine Gresham would be nice. I've always been a fan of his. Receiver, it's a little bit spottier. There's Pierre Garçon, who I think could fit pretty well in our offense.
I do too. I've said his name a few times, I think.
Yeah. Jermaine Kearse is a maybe. I would say no on Jermaine Kearse. I would definitely go for Pierre Garçon, that group. Terrence Williams, Mike Wallace, Rishard Matthews.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
You're not going to find the guy there.
Biggest concern I have is at left tackle.
Yeah, I was just going to say that too.
We talked. I was very pleased when we brought in Jared Veldheer because I felt like, oh yeah, this is a typical left tackle that we've had. He's 6'7", he's 310 pounds, he's got long arms, and he's played left tackle multiple times in the NFL and done it at a good level, not recently, but had done it.
Mm-hmm.
He retires almost immediately after signing. And now we're sitting there going, okay, I guess it's all on this 6'2" first round pick from last year who I'm still not convinced they want to play left tackle.
Who hasn't even seen the field.
Hasn't seen the field once. Didn't look good when he did. And he's still our only option.
And he's still rehabbing.
Yeah, he's still rehabbing from last year. It's like...
not at OTAs.
The only other option we have to play left tackle is Marcus Cannon switching over, which isn't ideal. And the rookie, Yadni Kajust, who everyone is saying is a project. He's got the tools, but he's a project.
At OTAs, they have Tooney playing tackle.
Oh my goodness. Tooney played tackle in college, and he's taller than Wynn, but he's got shorter arms than Wynn.
Mm-hmm.
And if you just look back at Skarnecchia's track record, tackles don't start as rookies outside of Sebastian Vollmer, who was a fill-in at right tackle.
But, and a giant.
Yeah, a giant. Actually, Matt Light did start as a rookie. Now that I think about it. Matt Light started right away. Nate Solder did not start right away.
Well, Solder took a year because of Light.
Took a year
because, but that's because they had a great transition.
Yeah, that was ideal. We're not going to see that again this year.
Well, you don't know. I mean, that's literally what he was setting up. It's kind of what he set up the same thing. You know, Trent Brown to Isaiah. I mean, I assume Isaiah Wynn.
I can't get over what we saw at training camp when Isaiah Wynn stood next to Trent Brown. And I understand Trent Brown's the biggest guy in the league, but it was hilarious.
Yeah.
Pretending those two guys played the same position.
Not a good look.
It's like putting Rajon Rondo next to Shaq. I mean, that's what it felt like
when same position.
Being like, oh yeah, those guys are both centers. It's like, what? Yeah. that's my biggest concern because we all know that if your offensive line crumbles, that's that.
Yep. So that's a big thing. And there's not a lot you can really do at this moment. It's not like you're going to go find a left tackle.
That's why I was pumped about Veldheer. But there's like nobody out there. You could get Donald Penn, Jeremy Parnell, Joe Barksdale has cement feet. TJ Clemmings is a joke. Great athlete, but wow, was he terrible in Minnesota. I mean, Cameron Fleming, who are you going to bring in?
I'd definitely bring Fleming back.
Fleming is not a left tackle. Whoa, not a left tackle, not even close.
I liked him as a player. I thought he was
he's a good backup tackle.
Yeah.
Amazing that the Cowboys signed him. We're like, all right, we got this. This solves one of our line problems. 1 year later, he's gone.
Yeah, classic.
I know, classic. Oh, he didn't come with Skarnecchia? All right, we'll send him back. One of the other things I was thinking about was this is the... it seems like the 2010 draft is... all those players are in flux right now. I mean, Gerald McCoy got out of his contract in Tampa Bay. Mm-hmm. Ndamukong Suh, also 2010 draft, goes there to fill that role. that was a really weird trade-off. Earl Thomas leaves Seattle, goes to Baltimore. Eric Berry remains unsigned. Gronk retires.
Yeah.
So many things are happening from that 2010 draft. I mean, Antonio Brown gets traded. Everything is turning around. Jermaine Gresham, as we mentioned before, he's on the market. It's like there is a 9-year window, and that's when players hit that twilight.
Yeah.
And so everyone funny. Goes in a different direction. Gerald McCoy got out of the only team he's ever known. Same thing with Earl Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
Eric Berry gets pushed out the door, essentially. Gronkowski yeah. retires on top of the world. And it's just like, you see that happen, and I don't know, it makes you think about Devin McCourty.
Yeah.
McCourty was our first round pick that year. Dez Bryant's effectively out of the league. Demaryius Thomas is now with the Patriots.
Yeah.
Right?
That's funny.
So many moving parts from that draft class. I just think it's fascinating to look at how everything is turning out right now, because everybody from that class seems like they're all in flux.
Yep. I know. It's pretty cool.
And then you got the, I think that was the last year before the new collective bargaining agreement.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're coming up on the 10-year for that collective bargaining agreement, and they're going to have to do it again next offseason.
Oh, my God.
And figure this all out. And the owners are already saying, 18-game schedule, we want it. They just...
That's so dumb.
I think they go for these big asks, and then they come back down. They go, all right, we won't do the 18-game schedule.
Yeah, that's sales.
You guys are costing us $500 million a year, and because of that, we're going to give Goodell, judge, jury, and executioner
authority. Let's negotiate. Again. You give them something that they're going to say no to, but then they'll draw it back a little bit.
Yeah, it's going
to be... they have to sign it.
There's too much money at stake. There's just too much.
Yeah. Yep.
When you think about how much money the NFL makes just on an average regular season game, it gets better ratings. Like for those Thursday night games that are like Tennessee versus Jacksonville, mm-hmm. the worst games of the year, those games get better ratings than NBA playoff games.
Man, it was just a joke. And hockey playoff games. That's stupid.
It's not even close.
Yeah.
So they can't afford to miss
the anything. Draft was broadcasted on mainstream television for 3 days. The fifth through seventh round picks were on live fucking ABC TV, and you don't even get playoff games from other sports. You have to wait for the championship.
Right.
We got the fucking draft. That's on like NBA TV only.
The tail end of the draft when everyone watching doesn't know anybody being drafted.
Yeah. Nobody watches that. Intently watches it.
Yeah, right.
It's funny.
Pretty good. Yeah. I mean, it's June right now. We're coming up on mini camp. Then it'll be a break training camp. But right now, you have to love. I love this. This defense is fantastic.
Even if our offense can't figure it out, this defense is going to win games.
Yeah. We discussed the shortcomings that are currently on the offense. But they're like you said, Josh Gordon returns and can walk the straight and narrow. They bring in a player who is high caliber. N'Keal Harry shows up to be the player we want him to be. Demaryius Thomas is the player he used to be.
Mm-hmm.
All we need is just one more break, and this offense is just going to go.
That's all we need. I mean, and it could even come in the form of Damian Harris being really good, because then you'd have Damian Harris and Sony Michel. It's like, well, you really don't need to throw the football that much.
I know, right? I just saw an article that said Sony Michel is a prime candidate to be a breakout player. It was like, he was a 1,000-yard rusher last year.
Yeah, that's technically breakout.
He's thoroughly like, broken out.
So if you have him, Harris, James White, obviously, and you somehow keep Burkhead too, I mean, that's an impressive fucking backfield.
That really is, yeah.
So we'll see. I mean, they got a lot going on for him. A
lot to look forward to. Well, thank you guys for tuning in. We'll be back in the coming weeks to discuss what's happening in minicamp and see how the position battles are shaking out, and give a little preview to training camp and what's going on in the summer. And in the meantime, go Bruins.
Go Bruins.
Go Bruins. Okay. All right. Thank you all for listening. We'll talk to you soon.
Adios.